In today's episode, Dr. Wendy Trubeau, co-author of Dirty Girl, Ditch the Toxins, Look Great, and Feel Freaking Amazing, shares strategies on how we can clean ourselves up from the inside out. Dr. Trubeau breaks down the holy trinity of stress organs, the relationship between menopause, sex drive, toxins, and stress, the best way to identify your toxic burden, and then whether or not you should cut toxins out entirely cold turkey or do so gradually. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. And we continue on with our sort of mini series here on really supporting the body. We talked last one around lots of stuff around energy, frequency, vibration. And now we want to get into the body for a little bit. And how do you actually support the body? And how do you support detoxification? Detox gets thrown around a lot, and a lot of times it's not done quite so well. Sometimes detox can even be detrimental if you're not doing it properly. So we're going to bring in some different experts to talk about this and give you more pieces and more clues to this complex puzzle around detoxification. So today we bring on expert Dr. Wendy Trubeau. She wrote a book called Dirty Girl, Ditch the Toxins, Look Great, Feel Freaking Amazing. And we had a really fun conversation and we looked at a lot of different layers to detoxification. So Dr. Wendy's a functional medicine doc. She does this with her patients all the time. And so we broke down some of the most important pieces here for you. One of the things I really liked in her book is that she actually broke down the importance and their interrelationship between things like stress and toxins and why we need to really pay attention to stress and even get ourselves out of that fight or flight into rest and digest in order for everything to work properly. She brought some awareness around things like menopause symptoms and sex drive that are not just related to menopause and say mental emotional things that might be going on with your partner. She explains how stress and how detoxification can definitely play a role in aggravating those types of symptoms. We talk about whether or not you should cut toxins cold turkey or if they should be gradual. She breaks down a number of the different types of toxins to be aware of, why we need to be aware of, and then what to do once you have actually assessed them. We even talk about how to assess them. And then the process that you guys can start right now, some of the main tips that you can take from her book and apply into your life right away. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And speaking around detox, check the links below with C60 from Purple Power and from Ascent Nutrition. Both of these companies have amazing products that can help support detoxification. One of my favorite ones from Ascent Nutrition is Peak Liver Detox. This is an amazing product that really supports both phases of detoxification. One of the big things that happens a lot of times that you'll learn about in these next few episodes to come is that with detoxification, particularly with the liver, there's different phases. And a lot of times supplements push phase one, but don't support phase two. And that actually can cause things to be even more detrimental. And you can actually get really sick from it. And sometimes that's not just a detox reaction. That's actually you getting worse rather than getting better. So the Peak Liver Detox from Ascent Nutrition really supports phase two detox. It's got key constituents in there that help with glutathione peroxidase and reductase, lipoic acid, superoxide dismutase, NAC, all of these things that assist with phase two of liver detox. And the main thing involved in phase two is it actually takes these toxic compounds that phase one actually converts these toxins into something even worse, but then phase two has to make them water soluble so we can get rid of them. Peak Liver Detox will support phase two to help you get rid of these toxins out of the body. And one of the other things that's been really beneficial outside of just supporting all of these different aspects of phase two liver detox is it's also been shown to help with brain health. One of the things that this biophotonic aspect of this product does is that it can actually assist with brainwave patterns to help you move more into an alpha brainwave state. Now we know that alpha brainwave state is essential to get you out of fight or flight and into rest and digest. Alpha is more associated with when we are in a calm state, just before we're getting into more of a meditative state. And when we practiced the Silva method, that was the key part of it, was to first get into an alpha brainwave state before we did any of the visualization or meditation processes. So I think it's really important to be able to do this. And you'll also learn that you can't even detox until you get out of fight or flight first. You have to get into rest and digest in order to get all the benefits of detox. Now, click the link below for Ascent Nutrition. Use the promo code DRLOKEN and you will get 10% off your order. The other important thing to really remember when we're detoxifying is that if you are supporting the body and supporting the different organs that are responsible for detoxification are lowering the load, then those organs don't have to work so hard. C60 from Purple Power is a really powerful way to support all of these different systems. Because it works as a very powerful free radical scavenger, it will sequester up a lot of the different oxidative stress on the body so that the other organs of elimination and of detoxification don't have to work so hard. It's kind of like lowering the burden a little bit so that they don't have to work quite so hard. So C60 from Purple Power, an incredibly powerful free radical scavenger, which helps to mitigate oxidative load, which will also tend to help to lower inflammation, both in the body as well as in the brain. So check that out as well. Use the promo code DRLOKEN and you will get 15% off your order. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this episode and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And today's guest is Dr. Wendy Trebeau. Wendy is a functional medicine gynecologist with a thriving practice at Five Journeys and is passionate about helping women optimize their health and lives. Through her struggles with mold and metal toxicity, celiac disease, and other health issues, Dr. Trebeau has developed a deep sense of compassion and expertise for what her patients are facing. She is the co-author of Dirty Girl, Ditch the Toxins, Look Great, and Feel Freaking Amazing. Dr. Trebeau, what a pleasant surprise to have you on the show today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
When your publicist had reached out, I was thinking this is actually perfect because we had just finished a big series. And then in this in-between, I wanted to put almost like a mini series together around detoxification because particularly right now, I think it's really important that people are aware of just how to clean out their bodies and even what detoxification means. I think that's a term that's been thrown around so often,
willy-nilly.
Even toxins. And yeah, I remember my dad one time asking me about detox and it was more like, so I took out beer and vodka and gin, but am I still allowed to have wine and whatever? So I think maybe this will be a good conversation to break down in more detail. So yeah. I love the name of your new book and I will put a picture up there because I don't have the actual real copy. I have a digital copy, but super great book, lots of great information and really friendly to read. I mean, your sense of humor pops through all the time. So thank you so much for coming and joining our show.
This will be fun. Let's dive in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you start from, you know, functional medicine. I know a lot of functional medicine docs are well aware of the importance of detoxification, but maybe share a little bit of your journey from conventional medicine into functional medicine and particularly around detoxification.
Okay. So I'll gloss over the first part of my journey. Feel free to ask additional questions. There's nothing secret. It's more just in the interest of time. I want to make sure we get to the detox stuff. Yeah, I got into functional medicine because I could barely get out of bed. And my husband was he was the mentee with a local Boston functional medicine, you know, old timer. And he said, hey, could you do us a favor and see my wife? Cause she just is not good. And that was when I was 35 and I had completed residency. I was at OBGYN attending and I had just had my second kid and I was a hot, hot mess. And he diagnosed me with celiac, along with a whole slew of food sensitivities and candida, nutrient deficiencies, which goes with the celiac. And so that really was my foray into functional medicine. And it took me a few years to pivot my practice because I, at that point, was not quite thinking, oh, I should do this for others. But then it got really clear that the difference that had made for me and the difference that I saw my husband making, I was basically jealous. Like, you know, let's just be real. I was like, why does he get to do that? And I have to stay up all night. That just doesn't, I was like envious and jealous. So I said, okay, I really need to go do what he's doing. And so went into functional medicine in 2009 and then have been doing it ever since. I mean, we're going on 13 years, basically. So fast forward to 2019, in 2018, I knew I had a lead exposure when my neighbor took his house down. That was a post-war lead paint filled house. And I freaked. I was like, shut the windows, turn off the air conditioning. My family's like, it's 85 degrees. We're not turning off the air conditioning. And I was like, no, we have to. We can't pull any air into the house. And they're like, okay, it's done. You know, we already got the exposure. So I knew about that lead exposure. And then we went to France in 2019 in April, right after Notre Dame burned. It was super dusty. We spent about a week right around Notre Dame in that area. And the month after I came home, I gained 9 pounds and my hair started falling out and I got a rash. I literally wanted to rip my face off. And at first I was like, oh, perimenopause is awful, you know, because I'm perimenopausal. And then it got really clear, this is not perimenopause. Perimenopause does not cause that. It can cause it sort of minorly, but it shouldn't just be like flicking the switch. And then about 3 months later, I heard this report online that when Notre Dame burned, it released 500 tons of lead dust into the air. And the closer you were to Notre Dame, the higher the concentration of lead exposure. And then it got successively less as you went away from it. And I went, oh, I was there. I got a lead exposure and it was meaningful. I mean, my body clearly noticed it. So I did the testing. I had previously tested just slightly out of range on our testing. And I'm a bad doctor, okay? Doctors are bad patients. And I ignored it. Bad doctor. Hindsight's 20/20. I should have acted on it, but I didn't. And this time I was like, oh, it's really out of range. So I acted on it and simultaneously did all the other toxins testing for mycotoxins, beauty products, herbicides, pesticides, insecticides. And basically I had all of them. I was like, so I looked at my husband. I went, I'm such a dirty girl. And then I went, oh, we're going to write that book. Because if I'm the poster child for organic, I don't drink alcohol. I'm like the most boring human being on paper. No alcohol, no sugar, no processed carbs, no gluten, nothing, right? And all organic. And I've got this. What does everyone else have who's not necessarily having it on their radar the way I thought I had it on my radar? So yeah. That was the impetus. And then we wrote the book.
That's such a big point though, because a lot of times people think that you got to be smoking and drinking and eating tons of processed foods. And I mean, sure, if you're doing that, you're probably a real mess and need a lot of work. But this is the thing. You can be eating and taking care and having a really healthy lifestyle and still being burdened by a whole ton of stuff that you wouldn't realize. Right. I remember, and you're probably aware of this too, but the Environmental Working Group put out back in 95 or something like that, where they actually examined the cord blood of newborns. Mm-hmm. And they found over 200 different chemicals, pesticides, solvents, all these different things in the cord blood of newborns. So this was basically, they just entered the world and they're already ridden with stuff. So it's sort of like if you live on planet Earth, part of our body's process is to detoxify. Yeah. Now, maybe one thing that we can chat about in regard to that is when we think about detoxification, one thing that you talked about early on in your book that I think is really important to touch on is you talked about the holy trinity of stress organs. And I think this is such an important part because in my mind, before you even start a process of what you think it means to detoxify, you kind of have to pay attention to this first. Can you go through this with people and why this is such an important part?
Sure. So just to be clear, it's not a religious term. It's what I stole the religious term to apply it to the medical because people understand three things and that they're all reliant on each other. So what I used to say to patients is your gut runs your body, which is accurate. Your gut runs the system. However, the adrenals, the liver, and the gut are in this intricate and beautiful dance that will either send you into the promoting health pathway or it'll send you into the shut down the system, have gut dysfunction, have liver issues, have adrenal issues pathway. And so what happens when in this holy trinity, basically your adrenals get stressed and we know that it's not life or death. You and I know it's just a bad boss or a stupid argument with your friend, spouse, partner, whatever, or your kid's not cleaning up their room, or someone pulled in front of you on the highway. We know that stuff's not really life or death, except the body interprets it like life or death. And so we go into what I'll call fight, flight, or freeze. Well, not just me, what everyone calls fight, flight, or freeze. And when we go into that system, a whole chain of things happen that are amazing and horrifying. So when you go into fight, flight, or freeze, you tell the liver, the adrenals say to the liver, guys, we're in crisis mode here. So we really need to start mobilizing our sugar stores and get them out of the liver from glycogen into glucose because we are going to have to run from that lion that's about to eat us. Okay, this is what our body thinks. So the liver is like, okay, guys, we're not going to do detox right now. We are going to mobilize our glucose stores and we're going to focus on survival. And then the adrenals also say to the gut and the liver says, gut, okay, we're not focusing on digestion, on absorption. We're focusing on survival. So just shut down because you can't be taking the resources that we're going to need to run. Shut yourself down. Now, you shut your gut down and you still have food sitting there. So it starts to rot and make gas. And then there's also anaerobic bacteria that are happy. You know, they're delighted that you've shut your digestion down. So there's all these things happening in the background, all because someone, you know, you got a phone call that was stressful, or you looked in your kid's room, and you were like, I told them to clean that up. So it starts this whole cascade of things. And what's really critical, Jason, is that detox is not a survival behavior, even though you need to do it to survive.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you're in a fight, flight, or freeze survival experience, you're going to focus on that, and you're not going to focus on getting rid of your toxins. It's not a priority right now, just like ovulation is not a priority when you're in the midst of a crisis. So you're going to divert all of your resources from maintenance and upkeep and detox into survival. So that's why it's so critical to manage stress and get enough sleep and eat proper foods and not promote anxiety in yourself by worrying about things, actively worrying. And my coach used to say, don't pray for stuff you don't want. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, when you're worrying, like, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, you're basically saying to the universe, do that. So cut it out. I was like, okay, nix, train my brain. So it's really important to keep the system in the direction of detox, rest, restoration, health, instead of survival, because they're very different outcomes.
Yeah, I think that's such an important part because, I mean, right, I would say North America particularly, but really lots of places in the world now, I mean, we live in fight, flight, freeze most of the time. Totally. That's people's kind of default now. And yet a lot of times people will come in and they'll try and do like a detox. They're like, well, what supplements can I take that are going to detox my liver? And what the part they're not understanding is like, you need to first get into the system. This is what Dr. Trabeau is mm-hmm. talking about. You have to get into the system of rest and digest. The body cannot technically heal in fight or flight because it's in survival. It's trying to you know, protect itself from getting killed. So it's not really rebuilding or healing. We need to get right. back in there. So mm-hmm. from that point of view, where do you start with people on that? Because that's a big lecture all on its own. But when people are in that fight, flight, freeze, Where do you start the process of trying to get them off that hamster wheel somewhat?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question and approach, because we have people who, now that the book is out, are coming and saying, I want to do detox. I'm like, great, let's look at your gut. And they're like, no, I want to do the toxins. Like, you can't do that. You can't run before you walk. So when we're looking at how to get people healthy, we're looking at what I'll call the platform. So are you eating food that your body likes? Have we addressed your mineral, nutrient, hormone imbalances, deficiencies, either way? Are you sleeping? Are you moving your body? Are you working in some way to decrease your stress? Focus on those five core things. Those are what I'll call the foundation of detox, because you can't do detox until you've handled the survival aspect. Okay, so get you out of survival, take care of the body. And then the next step is, okay, let's evaluate what toxins are in your body and get rid of them. But first you have to get off the rat wheel that's just constantly churning. We need to get you pooping. You know, if people aren't pooping every day, it's a problem. It's not normal. You should poop at least once a day, if not more.
Yeah. So that's when I actually did my thesis in osteopathy, it was on constipation. So at the end of everything, we did 2 years of studying people with constipation and how that related with osteopathy. So we talked lots about poop and people's poops, lots of Bristol stool scale and all that kind of stuff. But it's a big deal. And it's a marker that people can kind of assess on their own to give them a little bit of an idea of where they are. So from that point of view, you also talk about some of the different ways that the body is speaking to us on an ongoing basis as far as letting us know what might be going on. What would some of these most common messages be that would tell someone that maybe their toxic burden has been getting a little bit too high and they might need to look at it?
I don't mean to be snarky, okay? So basically, if you have any symptoms, your body's talking to you. And the way to look at this is to go, okay, I'll use a body part as an example that nobody ever thinks about. Your right elbow. Nobody ever thinks, except unless you've injured it, right? I dislocated my left elbow. So I often am thinking about, what's my elbow health and how do I rehab? But okay, set that to the side, because I'm not most people. Most people don't notice their elbow because it's healthy. The rest of your body should be as similarly invisible as your elbow is. And that means that your hair is healthy, your brain works, your endocrine system is balanced. You don't have a thyroid issue, an adrenal issue or hormone issue. You have a sex drive. You don't have any high blood pressure or high cholesterol or heart disease. You don't have asthma. Gut function, no bloating, gas, diarrhea, constipation, reflux or GERD. If you're male, that you wake up with an erection in the morning. If you're female, that you're having regular normal cycles and that you have a sex drive and you can orgasm properly. And then that your weight is appropriate. You're neither too thin nor too fat or large, however you want to language that. And that your body feels good. You don't have pain. Your body feels good and you have good energy. I've certainly missed stuff. So autoimmune disease is huge. If you have autoimmune disease, we know that the system's out of balance. So really looking for anything, pretty much any diagnosis that you say to me, oh, migraines, my response is they're not normal. It's a pathologic state. Let's figure out what's going on, because something's going on and it's fixable. Whatever you say to me, my response is it's fixable. I can't regrow a limb, right? Can't regrow that. And if you need surgery for a tumor or you have a surgical emergency, I can't fix that. But we can certainly address anything else. It's fair game. I would expect an 80% improvement.
Mm-hmm. If not yeah. more. Well, and well said. And I like that you also brought in things like sex drive, functional orgasm, all of those types of things, because those are types of things that usually people do not equate with like a toxic buildup in their body or something else going on. Usually those become in the realm of, oh, there's an issue with my partner, or there's this, or there's that, or something along those lines. And it's not that it can't be that, but it's not exclusively that. And right. That a lot of times when these other things start to get addressed, you know, this is what I think is really fascinating about the body. When you correct underlying big issues, a whole cascade of symptoms just gradually start to kind of disappear. So a lot of times what people came in for, you got to reassess after you've kind of certain things. It's like, okay, what's still left that we need to look at next? From that perspective, when you're talking about, because in your book, you mentioned a little bit around menopause as well, with menopause and stress and sex drive. Can you tell the audience,
book, by the way,
that'll be a huge one, because that is so tied in with exactly what this book is about, ties in so much with it. Can you give just a little overview of how things like menopause and sexual function and drive are related to this combination between like stress and detoxification?
Sure. So it's sometimes hard to tell who's driving the bus, right? So the presence of dysfunction, which can include all of the toxins, can throw off what would otherwise be a normal process. So if the toxins are stressing the adrenals and a woman's going through perimenopause, then the adrenals are busy in fight, flight, or freeze, and not necessarily, you know, think of the adrenals. Let me back up a step. The adrenals have two major pathways. The first pathway, cholesterol, turns into pregnenolone, and then it turns into aldosterone, cortisol, cortisone. That's your life preserving pathway. You're going to do that at all costs. And then there's this secondary pathway that for women is particularly important, especially as they approach menopause, which is the go down towards DHEA and turn into testosterone and estradiol. So you have these two pathways, and some women naturally lean towards the hormone and some women naturally lean towards the cortisol, but in a normal system, they should be reasonably balanced. Now, you layer on that there's something throwing off the adrenals, and the adrenals go into, I've got to preserve my cortisol production at all costs. And so this, hey, let's keep your hormone levels balanced as you approach menopause and you're in the perimenopause gets less important, because it's not life or death. It's nice to have. So here we are, we've layered on gut dysfunction, we've layered on stress, we've layered on toxins, and the adrenals are stressed. So now they're not producing your hormones, and women have night sweats, day sweats, irritability, brain fog, irregular periods, their sex drive goes off the cliff. All of these consequences start to occur. So, and that's, as I was joking about, you know, one day over the summer, that's why it's our next book, because I'm perimenopausal and I was having a hot flash. And my husband decided that was the moment he had to ask me like the world's most inane question. And I'm sitting here dripping and I was like, do you value your life? Like, dude, I love you to pieces, but I don't like you very much right now. Do we need to discuss this? You gotta wait. I'm having a hot flash. And he's like, oh, sorry, babe.
Now he'll remember.
Right? He hasn't asked me any questions while I was having a hot flash again. But I will say that the more that I've been able to take care of the sleep, the stress, the toxins, the fewer hot flashes, night sweats have occurred. It's just, it all goes together. So simultaneously helping the body, but also helping my marriage, right? The poor guy.
It'll be like relationship counseling book. The physicality to relationship counseling.
But, I want to do a little thing like for men, what not to do, you know, what not to do when your partner is perimenopausal.
Men absolutely need that. Very much so.
Yes. Don't say these things because it will result in problems.
I'll help you get that book out.
Anyway, back to toxins.
In regards to toxins, what are some of the big ones? Like, what are some of the ones that people might be more aware of versus what are some of the ones that are hidden that people are not so aware of, but actually playing a big role?
All right, geez, a huge conversation. That's like such an innocuous question, but it's a tremendous answer. So let's separate it into categories. So the one area of toxins is heavy metals. And the big ones that we really go crazy over are lead and mercury. The easy sources of lead are homes that were built before 1976, doing construction on homes that were built before 1976, or lead pipes. Those are the big sources, you know, all in. And then for mercury, the big sources are amalgam fillings and sushi, high mercury fish. And then a slightly less one is high fructose corn syrup. So if you're eating a lot of foods with high fructose corn syrup, that's got reasonably high levels of mercury and also other pesticides. So that's pretty nasty for you. That's one category. The next category is mycotoxins. These are the toxins that mold puts out when it's in your body. So this can range from food, which is very common. Ochratoxin is very common in food, in grains, particularly because they all just sit there and they're wet and they have ochratoxin growing in them, to, oh, hey, I live in this amazing Victorian home and it happens to have a natural floor basement, which is wet. So any kind of water damaged buildings, dorms are very wet and moldy. Schools are very moldy often. So the mycotoxins is another exposure point for people. And then there's what I'll call other, which is all the other things. So glyphosate, which is the most commonly used herbicide, things that you're spraying on your yard, if it's not organic, those are toxic for you. And you know, people use Roundup and don't really think, oh, that's glyphosate and that's disrupting my microbiome and it's been associated with particular cancers. And so it's pretty nasty. The body likes to get rid of it, but if it's just being inundated, it can't.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Things like gasoline fumes. So if you pump your own gas, and the systems are getting better to trap the fumes, but if you're pumping your own gas, you are exposed to the fumes. If you're drinking from single-use plastic water bottles, if you're eating foods that have herbicides, pesticides, insecticides sprayed on them, so non-organic foods, if you're a human and you use any type of beauty product, lotion, aftershave, cologne, perfume, unless it's really an organic brand, you're getting exposed to endocrine disruptors and other disruptors. So the list is almost endless. If you do construction, you need to make sure you use no VOC paint and no VOC stains. There's a lot of great companies that have it now. And so there's just a million ways to get exposed.
Yeah, exactly. A million and one ways to get exposed.
A million and one. So it's just to be really clear, it's never about no tox. It's about how do you mitigate your exposure and make choices that are going to work for you and your family long term. This isn't about perfection, really. Mm-hmm. I just don't want people to walk away going, I've got to be perfect. You don't. You really don't. You just need to get in the game and do your best. And
yeah, that's really important. Yeah. Well, and it gets to be too, where there's this balance between do you walk around the world living in a bubble all the time? And that's not so fun. I always talk to people, it's about creating resilience. Like you want to be aware and what really impacts you. You know, certain things will be more detrimental for one person than another. I think it's, you know, keep yourself honest and check once in a while to see where you are, right? Mm-hmm. And then sort of know where your markers are. I think that's always important. That's kind of a standpoint in functional medicine is, you know, check, right? So you're not guessing. But But even with that, something like, say, mold, you know, I think of molds are a big deal. And you see a lot of people that have had mold exposure. People have been really, really sick from mold toxicity. Yeah. I think you dealt with that one, I think, as well, didn't you?
I did. I got all the toxins. That's why I said I was a dirty girl, because I was like, let's just bring them all in. It was like a big welcome mat for all the toxins.
Well, you know, and part of it, you know, from even this last series we did on, it was more looking at like energy, frequency, vibration, the next era of healthcare and whatnot. And it was interesting because one of the people we talked about, he was talking about, you know, the necessity for us to go through certain experiences to create solutions. And then once we've created a solution, it's literally like we kind of put that up on the consciousness grid, where then it's available so that other people now don't have to go through the same problem. We'll create a solution that then is there for other people. So mm-hmm. I think you probably went through that so that you could create the solutions for other people to now learn from, right? Yeah. And so then you get to help a lot of people. But what I was going to say about some of these toxins is sometimes they're not so overt. Like I find like mold, some people are literally like that canary in the coal mine where they are so oversensitive that they catch it well before, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not affecting you if you are not getting the same symptoms. What would you say in regards to that?
Let's talk about that. So what I would say is, think of this like a rain barrel philosophy. So your body is the rain barrel, and everything that you get exposed to fills your rain barrel. Toxins, foods, chemicals, stressors, genetics, lifestyle, thought processes, all of these fill up your rain barrel. And when you get to a certain point, if you fill in enough, you're going to have symptoms. The point at which you overfill your rain barrel is the point at which you start to have symptoms. So the person who is that canary in the coal mine, my argument would be they're someone who has a lot of inputs and their rain barrel is pretty full. Whereas the person who isn't as sensitive to mold and the mycotoxins, doesn't notice it as much and really doesn't react in quite the same way as someone who has more elasticity in their system because they haven't filled the rain barrel. And I'll tell you, I used to be extremely chemically sensitive. Like I couldn't be around people with perfume. I couldn't be around cleaning agents. I couldn't be around anything. And I noticed about, I don't know, 6 months ago, I was thinking about this going, it's really hard to notice the absence of symptoms when they go away. You know, you're sort of, it's just the way life becomes. But I thought, I'm no longer that person. But I used to be highly chemically sensitive. I got a real pain in the butt. Like, don't come to my house if you're going to wear perfume because I can't stand the smell of it. I can't even be around it. And now it's like, doesn't bother me. So the more you can peel off the different irritants in the system, the better the system can play and react to other insults. Like I can tolerate those things now because I don't eat the gluten and drink the alcohol and stay up all night like I used to. So it's really about mitigating all the exposure so you can tolerate different excursions.
Yeah, well said. I often think about this as this resilient balance between when you become first aware of what some of the different things are that we want to mitigate, right? So then what do we allow ourselves exposure to? No different than I would think of it with anything, even like people, you know, there's certain people where at a certain point in time, you just don't want the same exposure to them. It's not healthy for you anymore. Yeah. So we create boundaries around some of those things that maybe aren't so beneficial for us in all regards. Why we tend to not eat processed food, right? Or fast food, because you're aware of things. Once you become aware of it, now it's a personal choice. You can decide what you want to do, but now it's in your hands. So once you're aware of it. And then the other part is building resilience internally. So I think like you had said, some people too, just have different biochemistry. They've got different epigenetics, right? I think you've got a section in your book where you talk about you can blame it on your parents. I thought that was really funny. Maybe talk a little bit about that part of it, because sometimes people aren't aware. They're like, well, why did they get away with it all the time? But I can't handle that. This is where sometimes that piece of it may fall into it, outside of just being overburdened from your environment. But sometimes you may just have, might need more assistance in the processing of some of the biochemistry of it.
Yeah. So I think it can be frustrating for people when they recognize that the things that happened 50 to 80 years ago are things that are impacting their health today. So on one hand, I recognize that can be extremely frustrating. And on the other hand, I think that it gives you some measure of, oh, this is really important and it's mitigatable. Is that a word? mitigable. I'm not sure how to say that. Anyway, it's fixable. That's the easy way to say it. And you can, I will call those your Achilles heels. So it's a fascinating study. I think it's Sweden. I can never keep it straight. There's this tiny little town in Sweden where they keep amazing records. It's tiny. It's a farming town. And they kept hundreds of years of records. And a couple of years ago, these epidemiologists, like of all things, epidemiologists went to this town because they kept such amazing records. And they started to study what were the things that happened for people. And what they noticed over time was that if your grandparent, now we're not even talking your parent, we're talking about your grandparent. So if one of your grandparents went through a famine when they were in the midst of puberty, their grandchildren, so up to, you know, years later, were significantly less likely to have heart disease, obesity, diabetes. And then they were like, okay, well, what about the flip of it? And the flip also held true that if your grandparent went through a feast in the midst of, as they went through puberty, their grandchildren were significantly more likely to have heart disease and diabetes, obesity. And that translated into a 30-year difference in life expectancy for these offspring. Okay. So that's the impact. Epigenetics is the effect of events that turn on or off different genes that you are predisposed for. So having said that, you're not only your genes, there's absolutely ways to mitigate it, but you have to know what are your risks. So I'm a huge proponent of people getting their genetic profile so that they can see what are they at risk for, what's going on, what do we need to guard against?
Yeah, I like seeing, I feel like it's just information, you know, and then what's helpful is when the doctor like looks at the information and then sort of uses a stepping stone to move you towards optimal health. You know, it's yes. That difference of sort of looking going, oh crap, you're in trouble. That freaks people out. But if you can use this information to move you towards, okay, this is great. Now we know how to sidestep this and this and this. And then you can check functional markers to see that it's actually all working in your body. And I agree with you. I think that's a wonderful way to then just, you get to sidestep all these little holes that you otherwise wouldn't know when you fall in these little pitfalls. And now there's so much information to be able to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's really important to recognize a lot of times you can't see what other people have. So it's easy to be like, oh, I got everything. Why do I have all these problems? But everyone else has it too. They're just either not talking about it or they're not aware of it. So everybody got something and it's going to get them at some point. And the way I choose to look at it is I'm so grateful that I have this knowledge now so I can avert worse. You know, not go down the pathway of worse, but everybody's got something. And it's like, what's your Achilles heel? How do we mitigate and navigate around the potholes so that you don't fall in them?
Yeah. And the nice part of it too, is that if you become aware of some of those, and then you actually are able to completely correct them, you will actually change that for the next generations to come as well.
Exactly.
So then you kind of get to clean the slate and start fresh again. So I know even for us with before we had kids, we had looked in a bunch of that stuff on some of the different things we had from sort of health perspective, even like mental, emotional things that we wanted to try and clear before we had kids, just to sort of with that concept that if we take care of it, there will be a bigger chance that we might be able to transfer something different down for our kids and for their kids.
I actually did a little study on that. I had four kids and the healthier I got, the healthier my kids got, which was amazing. I mean, I didn't recognize how unhealthy I was when I had my first kid. I hadn't been diagnosed with celiac yet. I had no idea. But I got a little bit healthier between one and two, but then between two and three and three and four, it was pretty marked. It's very interesting. So I totally get that. The more you can clean up, the better your kids will do. It's pretty amazing to watch.
Yeah, I think it's really, I think, the best gift that we can give our kids. Yeah. How can listeners start to tune into their bodies? What strategies can they use? Because I really do think a lot of times people become so disconnected from their bodies, or they don't trust what their bodies are telling them anymore. How do you reconnect and start to learn to trust what the body's telling you? Any ways that you've worked with your patients with that?
Yeah, I always say to people that I completely reject the conventional wisdom that you're supposed to get worse over time and start failing. I reject that. And so I think that the way of thinking is the first step. So instead of chalking up your symptoms to, you know, genuinely, you might be tired or you may not have slept well, but if there's some theme or recurrence or it just doesn't go away, pretty much anything that you could say to me, someone has, I would say that's the wake-up call to tune in. So head to toe, hair's not normal, brittle, thinning, falling out, brain fog, brain dysfunction, early cognitive decline, any endocrine disorder, any autoimmune disorder, anything with any system. So heart disease, liver disease, fatigue, gut dysfunction, bloating, gas, diarrhea, constipation, reflux GERD, weight issues. That's particularly poignant for people because a lot of people have difficulty losing weight, particularly women. And so any difficulty losing weight is a wake-up call like, hey, especially if you're doing everything right and your weight's not where you ideally think it should be, there's something to talk about here. Any kind of pain, menstrual dysfunction, sexual dysfunction, conception dysfunction, really anything that someone can point to. The problem is not so much pointing to it, but recognizing, oh, I actually have that and it's not normal. I never knew that it was that my level of gut dysfunction was abnormal until it went away. I legit just thought people had a better cork and I had bad gas, but people had a better cork than I did. So I think it's really important even to just recognize like, oh, that's not normal. When it went away, I was like, oh, I never knew that room clearing gas wasn't normal. And so it's just shocking the stuff you figure out when you go, oh, that's not normal. So just to be clear, it's not normal to have headaches. It's not normal to have your hair fall out. It's not normal to have anxiety. It's not normal to have constipation. And what I mean by constipation is you need to poop every day at least once. If you're not, it's not normal. It's dysfunction. So anything where you go, oh, God, this really bothers me. It's a problem. Let's get it fixed. So yeah. How you tune in is first by recognizing, oh, that's actually not normal.
Well, and that's where I think is really, that's the new normal. It's what people are familiar with or what they consider common is not necessarily normal or healthy. So Just because something is the way it's been for a long time does not necessarily mean that's what it's supposed to be like. You know, I know even like you see children with things like, they get diagnosed with, say, anxiety or ADHD or something like that. And then you assess everything, you kind of find out certain things are really out of balance. And it's like their nervous system has been buzzing like this since birth. And mm-hmm. as soon as it actually comes down, they're like, that's what it's supposed to feel like in my body. Mm-hmm. Like they would have no idea because you've been in it for so long. That does become normal for you, but it's not actually the way it's supposed to be. And it's the same way I find with detoxification. When you actually clear a lot of this stuff out, you get a whole new set point. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, now I know what it's supposed to feel like. And then you have a very different relationship with things because now you know how much it makes you feel differently when you get exposed to it or you bring it back in or something along those lines as well.
Yeah. And I would even challenge that by saying that, you know, a lot of people say, I feel fine. And then we fix it. And they go, oh, I had no idea that I could feel better. And I say, I'm going to tell you something, you can even feel better. So it's like you start at one level and you get to another level. But once you get there, there's more possible. So let's keep leveling up. So essentially, it's this constant iterative process of improving. Because why be satisfied with like, oh, it's fine. You know, no, let's feel freaking amazing. That's the goal.
Well, and you can literally decrease cellular age. While you actually get numerically older, you can decrease your cellular age. So like you're saying, you can get older and actually get healthier, and you can measure that. That's actually all stuff that people can check. So it's all very possible. Yeah, and look better, right? Absolutely. Yes. What when we talk about toxic burden, from your perspective, what are some of the best ways to actually figure out what's going on? What is someone's toxic burden? What are some of the things that you might measure? How are the ways to even do that?
I love data. I say to my patients, I'm a wicked data hog. If you're going to work with me, we got to get data. So you can do a lot of detox on your own, but if you're going to hit the metals, the mycotoxins, and the environmental, the other category, you're going to want good data so that you target your interventions. So we test for everything in our practice. We test for heavy metals, and that's a specific baseline test, and then a provoked urine test that's timed to see how much do you pull out of you over a specific period of time. And then we do a specific test for mycotoxins after giving you glutathione to improve the liver's ability to mobilize things. Then you take a hot bath and it helps mobilize even more. And then you pee, another urine test. And then on that same test, we can actually test for environmental toxins, the other, you know, the VOCs, the plastics, the paints, et cetera, and glyphosate. So all the herbicides, pesticides, and glyphosate. So all of that's done and you get a baseline. And then what frequently happens when you start to treat is when you retest, the numbers are higher. And I say to people, don't freak out. It's good news. You're mobilizing it. You know, it means you just retested before you hit your peak and before you went down below your numbers. But the numbers do look worse before they look better for most people, unless what you see is what you get, but it's almost never that way. 2 to 5% of the time, that's what you see is what you get. And 95 to 98% of the time, what you see is it's much worse. So you get in for the sort of dig in for the long haul. So people can absolutely test that information. And I highly recommend it so you know where you're starting, so you can see the accomplishment you've come through.
It's definitely one of the parts I like about testing too, is it's nice to see both for us as well as for the patient to see, here's where we actually began. So you got a good baseline, and then you know when things get back into what we would consider sort of an optimal zone, how much better you're feeling, right? And then you've got this measure, right? You can actually see it. You always want to blend these subjective measurements and objective measurements together.
Yep.
So Wendy, once you've figured out what's there, what are some of the ways then that people can start to work with them? What's kind of required? Yeah.
So I always work with people to understand, well, how do you do lifestyle change? Are you a fell swoop kind of person where you're just going to wipe the slate clean? Or are you someone who's incremental? You have to honor that, because if you give the fell swoop person not enough, they're going to be like, well, this is lame. And if you give the incremental person a huge plan, they're going to freeze because it's so not the way they do lifestyle change. So you have to figure that out. And then I also say to people, do you need accountability? Do you need me to ride your butt? Or are you going to go and in 4 months come back and you'll have done it all yourself? So figure out if you're really sort of self-motivated or if you need external accountability. And by the way, this isn't a moral conversation. It's not like you're better or worse if you do one or the other. It's simply what's more effective for you.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.